This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Melissa Idris and Tan Chung Han. Today, the Election Commission meets to decide on the date of a nomination and polling day, which will see close to 15 million voters making their choice about who they want to lead them. While some are concerned that the recently passed redelineation exercise has created an even more uneven playing field, the federal opposition remains committed to the process. On the line, we have Kai Oswald, Assistant Professor with the Department of Political Science at the University of British Columbia in Canada. Kai has written extensively on Malaysian politics and in particular how the ruling coalition Barisan Nasional has held on to power.
Kai, good morning. I'm just going to start off, Melissa here by the way. Now, you've written about the electoral process and how it's, in your words, extensively manipulated. And yet, Kai, we've seen changes of power at the state level. I mean, in recent times, Penang, Selangor, you've got Perak and Kedah as well. And in the past, we've had Sabah and Kelantan as examples. Now, do you think that this could happen not just at a state level, but also at a federal level?
I think the state level and the federal level operate quite differently in Malaysia. In many ways, if we look at Malaysia, it's a federal country, of course, and state level, local level politics matter. But over the last decades in particular, a lot of power has been centralized at the federal level, especially in the Prime Minister's department. And that means the stakes are higher at the federal level. And I think all in all, it makes it less likely that we might see a turnover of the sort that we've seen at the state levels.
Now, Kai, also beyond the issue of the this extensively manipulated or so-called extensively manipulated electoral system, what strengths does Barisan Nasional have coming into this contest? Because I note in the foreword for your recent piece, you spoke about perhaps some of the developmental policies that is lending itself to BN's current status quo.
Right. So two things to say. I think it's always important to point out when we talk about electoral manipulations that we take a very realistic assessment. I think for too long, frankly, many observers of politics have essentially divided the world into what they saw ideally as well-functioning liberal democracies and then other systems, right? in a very polar way. And I think one of the big advancements we've had in political science and in other social science disciplines over the last few years is that we've come to recognize there is actually much more of a spectrum. Right? So Malaysia's electoral system in many ways, from an international perspective, has elements that are manipulated, but a lot of others do as well. Right? And we can look at the United States, the big country south of where I am at the moment, and there are extensive manipulations there also. So we really need to think carefully about what the manipulations mean and how they impact outcomes. With that said, the BN, yes, it of course has a lot of appeal for many voters in Malaysia, and for very good reason. If we look at Malaysia over the last 60 years, it's a success story on many fronts, whether we're looking at growth of the economy broadly, whether we're looking at improvements in indicators of human well-being, whether we're looking at social stability, right? I think Malaysia compares very favorably to many other countries that we could have considered at a roughly similar level at the time of independence. And, of course, BN deserves a substantial amount of credit for that. It was at the helm through all of this growth and all of this development.
Kai, just to interrupt you, this is Sharad again. The question of the Barisan Nasional and its success, and at least the first couple of decades, was that it could capture the middle ground. That ground seems to have shifted from under their feet, including the fact that in the past they did very well in mixed constituencies, and then they lost that to parties like PKR. Do you think that the Barisan Nasional at this point in time can recapture that middle ground that seemed to underpin both their legitimacy and the electoral successes?
I think realistically, we're likely in a new era of Malaysian politics. And in retrospect, the election in 2008 was the start of that. And it's not surprising. BN got a lot of legitimacy from the development of the economy and of living conditions. And frankly, as Malaysia becomes more developed, incremental growth, incremental gains diminish, right? mean, you know, the United States, Western Europe is happy if it achieves growth rates of 2 or 3%. So it isn't possible to sustain the same kind of development, the same pace of development that Malaysia had early on. And that was a key, I think, to capturing, as you say, the middle ground, right? And I think in recognizing that, some of the manipulations to things like electoral boundaries have made it increasingly difficult for the BN to capture the middle ground, as the influence, the relative influence of rural voters has increased, as identity and religion has become more central to campaigning, politics have become more polarized.
Kai and Melissa here again. I'd just like to talk about a little bit about this economic growth and, you know, tie that into, say, the power of the incumbent, the power of incumbency, right? If you look at, say, countries like the US, where incumbents often have an advantage, do you think that this is often this could also be the case for Malaysia? Historically, countries around the world tend not to vote a government out of power unless there is a major economic or political or even diplomatic crisis. For Malaysia, do you think that's the case?
I think that's absolutely the case, yeah. One thing we have to keep in mind with Malaysia is that Malaysia is a very strong state, right? And the BN, UMNO, has been at the head of that, previously obviously as the alliance in coalition form for six decades. And as a result of that, in many places, the line between UMNO or its BN coalition partners in the state is blurred, right? And that obviously presents a lot of advantages, whether it is within institutions like the EC or in the delivery of services. I think for a lot of Malaysians, the state is UMNO, and UMNO is the state. And as long as you say, you know, Malaysia continues to do relatively well for most people, there is safety and security in the party that you know.
Kai, final question here, Han again. So I guess when you talk about safety and security, I guess the pivotal question going into GE14 is this: is Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib's leadership secure?
Well, that is a big question, isn't it? We'll see in a couple of weeks. I think what we can say is that the incumbency advantage in Malaysia is especially strong. Najib himself, of course, needs a relatively strong turnout, a strong showing, a strong mandate, frankly, to hold off competition, to hold off challenges, not just from the opposition, but also from within his party, right? So, as much as the institutions within Malaysia are what they are, and they provide, I think it's quite clear, an advantage to the BN and to UMNO specifically, there are a lot of questions in terms of what will happen with this campaign. The Mahathir factor is substantial. We don't know what kind of impact the dissolution of Bersatu is going to have in some Malay majority districts. We don't know how the campaigning itself is going to unroll. And lastly, I think it always should be stated, we know from around the world, this is nothing specific to Malaysia, but elections heighten tensions within cleavages, within, you know, social groupings. And in Malaysia, as parties are structured along ethnic lines, it's almost invariable that we see some degree of increased tension. And you know, these kind of unknowns make it very difficult to predict an outcome.
Thank you very much. That was Kai Oswald, Assistant Professor with the Department of Political Science at the University of British Columbia in Canada. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.